for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Memorial Weekend Deliverance Seminar by Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Saturday morning, May the 24th, 1980. Dr. Marcus Haggard of Yorktown, Pennsylvania, is a teacher of the morning. This is tape one of two tapes of the morning service.
It just seems to me like I can get away once in a while, or I can just simply go home and at least I get to rest at night. Now, Glenn and Irma, they have people driving in here. Wynn has had to put in another phone and people calling him all the time. And the Lord has just simply put a hook in the jaw of people like that to keep them on track. And that's all you can say, is the fact that the Lord has just set a divine purpose in their heart and just simply has them hooked. And I think that's a wonderful way to be, but you want to remember that they still have a free choice like everybody else. Glenn, do we have any chalk? We're going to need some a little bit. And this morning, we're just going to relax and just have some fun. And we just simply want to do what the Lord wants us to do. Is that empty? Well, that's all right. If I could just have a few pieces, that's fine. We have paper towels. And that's okay. And we'll deliver the blackboard. By the way, I saw a triangle drawn on this blackboard, and you know, I tell you what, you should know that those triangles weren't those pyramids and those triangles and so forth have a significance, and that when a person in Satan worship wants to, if they're tired and worn out like we were last night, why, they just put a thumbtack in the top of the door and put a string down on each side to each base and set in there, and Satan will fill them with power. And they're just charged with energy, what? In the lotus position part, yeah. And they're just charged with energy just as much as if they had sleep. So I think probably that's where the idea comes of leaving those pyramids alone. Also, there's a teaching that this is the cornerstone, you see, and that Jesus Christ was set up there in a perfect position, and it took a lot of to get him there. But what a cornerstone is, you see, when you go to build a building and you want the building square, why, you set that cornerstone, and then the line has to be square this way, this line square this way, and then you have a right angle here and a right angle here, and this cornerstone sets the entire foundation, and that's what you draw all your lines off of, and that must be square. If it isn't square, and you get and it's out of square, you see, then your building wouldn't be square. So that's why Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He's the chief cornerstone, you see. And everything that we have just simply revolves around that cornerstone. Well, Father, we just simply, one of the things we, when people come to our group, the first thing we teach them is to pray with their eyes open. And if you're gonna pray unceasingly, if you're gonna talk to the Father all the time while you're talking, the girls in the clinic, 3 years ago, we only had one saved person in the clinic. We hire from 12 to 16 people, and today they're all saved. Now, it's a peculiar thing. When they come in, many times we'll hire a person unsaved. And Chris Williams, some of you have heard me mention her, but she was a tough little 16-year-old that had ran off and been rebellious and everything. And I called her father when we hired her. Her father runs a filling station across the street. And I called her father, and I said, well, we'll hire Chris if we have your permission to pray with her and to take authority over with your permission and to just simply deliver her if necessary. Now, he wouldn't have any idea what deliverance was. I mean, he's not even born again and saved so far as I know, and all I was talking to him was that it was just probably Greek to him. But he said, well, sure, you go ahead. I think that might do her good. And Chris was with us, 30 to 60 days. And I'm telling you, we'd say, Chris, you want to accept Jesus today, you know? Or she'd see miracles and everything. And nope, not today. So finally, I just thought, well, now, you see, the Lord says that our words snare us. They're snares, life and death in the tongue. We're condemned or rejected by our words. And I said, well, let's just use the devil's trick right back on him. So I'd say, hey, Chris, you know what we're going to do? We're going to just practice. You say after me. So I'd lead her through the sinner's prayer. I said, now remember, this is just practice. So every two or three days, why, we'd just practice, see? Well, Rachel happened to be there the day that it happened, and she went back over at the filling station to go home with her dad, and all of a sudden we heard cars screeching and brakes being applied. It's a pretty busy highway between our places of business. And here came Chris just a flying. And she said, hey, you know what I just did? I just asked the Lord in my heart. And she says, I feel better already. Now, what I'm trying to say is that the Lord's power is all powerful. See? Now, we have to learn to be instruments through which the Lord's power can flow and still stay ourselves and not be a tool of the devil, but be our own individual selves and let the power of the Lord flow through us with our mind alert and active and so forth. And the Lord's got a plan, and the Lord can do this. Now, the thing that I just like to, we had those charts yesterday, you know, and we showed here the Father, and we showed here the soul, and we showed here the body, and we showed here Satan. Now, and Satan was God of this world. Well, now, Satan has a peculiar way, and he has a way that he has some people working for God and has them thinking that they're working in God's service. And I'm telling you, they're busy, and they're tired. They're worn out. Why, they're just so busy carrying stuff to the poor, and they're just so busy I don't know what. I can't really begin. The list is so exhaustive. But Satan can put a burden in a person for, well, the lost. He can put a burden in a person for to do good. He can just weigh them down with the cares of fellow man. And they even have where their soul touches other souls. We had a lady that had prayed a prayer that her soul touched other souls. Remember in those warfare prayers yesterday, we talked about soul ties and breaking soul ties. And we talked about that a psychiatrist always has a control spirit in the person he's working with. There's just no doubt about it. There's a control spirit there. And the soul tie, an evil soul tie, is an invisible transmission line that just extends between those persons, and evil spirits can go between them, you see. The thing that most writers of the old, the great men of God, the thing that most of them that were short, now Watchman Nee has done a great work, and Evan Roberts wrote a great deal. But most of them underestimated, when they went to talk about soul power, most of them underestimated the power of cooperating human spirits, cooperating evil spirits, you see. In other words, they failed to realize the cooperation between Satan's forces in the fact that Satan can lay a trap for a person. Well, we had a doctor in our town. He was a, and he, Ray Kiesling, a friend of mine with bad arthritis and run a restaurant. He was the best old boy you ever saw. And I'm telling you, he really got down and he'd keep trying to work and he had crippling arthritis. And you'd talk to Ray about the Lord and we brought him to one deliverance meeting. And his daughter was in a faith church. Let me write that word up there so he won't forget it. His daughter was in a full gospel faith church, and she decided that her preacher was right, that a Christian couldn't have a demon, so her grandpa couldn't have a demon. We never saw Ray, but Ray was telling me that this doctor that he went to, he would take a hold of his hand like this, and he said, "Now, where's your hand a-hurting?" And Ray would say, "Well, that wrist a-hurting right there." So the doctor would, he wasn't an M.D. He had another degree, and he wasn't a veterinarian either, Jim. But anyway, this doctor would take hold of his wrist, see, and he'd say, "Hurts right there, huh?" "How's it feel?" "Why, it feels great." That's fine. He took the pain. See, you can transfer. S.O. Susag tells about a boy that he wanted in the worst way up in Minnesota. He was a great man of God. S.O. Susag, the full God, Church of God, split off into the old Church of God at Guthrie, Oklahoma, their publishing house, and then Anderson, Indiana. And S.O. Susag was praying for a boy whose family was supporting a revival, and he just simply wanted that boy healed so bad, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and that spotted fever just stayed. And so, finally, he said, "Lord, if it's necessary, I'll take that sickness myself for you to heal him." And sure enough, he had to preach the next two nights with spots all over him. Now, transference of spirits is very real. There's a cooperation between spirits, even in many, many of these doctors who practice a soul power, a psych, they call it, you see. And they're dealing in the realm of cooperating spirits, and that's been underestimated for years. But it's the same when you see it happen all the time when they build up an idolizing star. And these teenagers try to pound the gates down, and they swoon and so forth. That's all cooperating spirits to make it look like he's popular, you see. The devil has a great plan of cooperation to build people's faith in the soul and the body and Satan, you see. But when you get the Holy Spirit involved, when you get the Spirit of God involved, then you can measure whether you're working for God or with God. In other words, many people are working for God. Now, when you're working with God, how do you measure who you're working with? Well, let's go back to fundamentals. Genesis 3:16. That's where it tells that Jesus Christ was planned by God. He says, look, he told the woman. 3:15 maybe it is. Well, anyway, you get in there and it's within a verse or two of where I'm telling you. And he said, you're going to produce a seed, and your seed will bruise his head, and he will bruise the seed's heel. That was a forecast of Jesus Christ, prophecy. Then in 1 John 3:8, it said Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. You want to remember that the Spirit of the Father, which gives life to our soul and brings our spirit to life. Let's get this straight. There's a dead spirit laying in there. And the Father's life, if you'll examine it, John 6, that's a wonderful, we're going to refer to John 6 quite a bit. But he came for one purpose, and the devil's been trying to shove it under the rug ever since, but he came to shake the heavens by violence, and the violence take it by force, absolutely tear down Satan's kingdom. Now, if it wasn't for that, Jesus Christ wouldn't have been born. Now, they've filled the church with phony love, with phony faith. The devil's done all that with soul power, making people think they're worshiping. Oh, isn't that wonderful to sing? Oh, beat those tambourines, jump up and down, sing those songs. Soul power! How do you get your joyful? How do you get your joyful? Look at John 16:24. Just open your Bible and read it. Then you'll know how to get your joyful. I think it'd be a good idea for everybody to memorize. I hope I'm in the right place. John 16:24. Huh? No, that's in Matthew. There you go. Virginia just gave it to me. Hey, Virginia's a joyful old kid. Yeah. Why? Because she's been asking the Father and receiving all the time. See? How did Jesus say to get you joyful? Well, the devil even devises tricky little songs so that we won't know Scripture for sure. What do we sing? Love one another, that your joy may be full. Right? Now, I'm not knocking music. I'm not knocking tambourines. I'm not knocking jumping for the Lord. It's all scriptural. I'm not knocking getting your adrenaline flowing. That's good. But there's a fine line between this soul power and the spirit. A very fine line. And we really, if we want to serve God, see now the point is this. Are you working for God? Am I working for God? Or I'm working with God? Now, how do you measure? Well, if the spirit actually came to destroy and pull down. What does it say? Pull down strongholds. Is that scriptural? Where are the strongholds? Oh, that's those world rulers Wynn was talking about last night. That's those principalities. That's those authorities. Now, if you're working for God, you cannot disturb a thing. Satan rolls on his merry way. Nothing happens to Satan's kingdom unless Satan shakes it up a little himself. See, the war... There's a tremendous war going on in Satan's kingdom. There's a war for what? Power, position. Those demons are fighting one another to who's going to control who. Who's going to run Indiana? Who's going to run Arkansas? Who's going to run you, me? Who's going to run who? That's their power. Strife, contention, all the time in the devil's kingdom. Always bickering. Why is he an expert at breaking up marriages? Why is our church is full of women with unsaved husbands and not saved husbands instead of unsaved women? Why? Because Satan picks on the head of the home. He set up bickering and contention, and there's marriages that can't survive because of the marriage-breaking spirit and the divorce spirit, and they're at odds all the time. That's your fault. No, that's not my fault. You said yesterday you were going to do this. Well, I am going to do it. Don't give me time. Hey, you're on my back all the time. Just seems to me like you expect me to be perfect. Here I do. I kick and I slave and I burn your toast and everything for you. And what do I get? You didn't even thank me for laying out a clean plate yesterday for you to eat on. Just all the time. Little things. Little things. Little things. Little things. Right? You know marriages like that? You can't please him. You can't please her. She says, I want ice cream. By the time you get the ice cream, well, she wants something else. So, marriage-breaking spirit. See, the fight is in the devil's kingdom. That's where the fight is. Now, if you're working for God, and you can just do everything you want to for him, I'm telling you, you can just... Two stories, you see, we told them yesterday. But you want to mark them, and I'll get you the scriptures in just a little bit. And that is that the Lord, when they brought that cart back out of the Ark of the Covenant, when they brought it back out of wherever it was that the Philistines had it, why, it jostled a little bit on the cart. You remember that story? And the old boy put his hand out. He was working for God. So that ark would But God had a law that he had set up and said nobody but a Levite can touch that ark. And the old boy was struck dead by God. By God! For working for God. And old David went in the morning. He said, "Old boy, what in the world are you doing to my people, Lord? I thought you were a good God." Now, then he went back and reviewed and did it right. Okay, the old king, in the Holy of Holies, the incense went out. So he went in to light the incense. And they said, "Hey, you're not supposed to go in there." And he says, "The incense has gone out, and I'm going to go in there and light it." And he went in there and lit it. The Lord gave him leprosy, and the king died. He was working for God. But God had laws. He had laws. And he was supposed to observe that law. Now, people working for God over here do not disturb the Satan's kingdom in the least. But if you're working with God, your sole purpose is to pull down strongholds, destroying the works of the devil. Jesus Christ, our chief example, is the one that set the best example. And make a note here. We have the greater seven and then the big seven, and we're going to get to those in a minute. Now, then we went, remember yesterday, we said, how do you qualify then to work with God? Well, the rules are very simple, and they are so simple that the devil has built seminaries and Bible schools and church schools to teach how complicated they are. Oh, boy. You must look at this scripture in three different ways. You got to look at it in the light of the sinner. You got to look at it in the light of a preacher. You got to look at it in the light of whether you're going to do it or whether you're going to teach it. I don't know when's an expert on that. He's been to school, see. I have a big advantage. My biggest advantage over Wynn is that I haven't been to school, see. So I call him up and ask him things, and he says, "Yes, that's in such and such of my book." I tried to read his book several times, and I just can't get into them. I don't know. I just have a problem with that. No, we use his books. We use all three books, and we're waiting on the fourth one. And I'm telling you, he's doing. You see, the reason they came down there 3 years ago, and they started a work in Muncie. They put it there for the Lord, and the Lord has just multiplied it and fed it. Their church has prayed, and the power of God has continued to flow. And we have people drive from three or four different states around. They drive 3 or 4 hours to come to our little old meeting. And last Sunday, we had people there from... Now, we do remember this is a small conference room, and we just... there's only 3 or 4 or 5... families actually working in this work on a steady basis, but they're only together for one thing, and that is to work with God, see strongholds put down, and see miracles, signs, and wonders like the God promised to confirm, like the Father promised to confirm His Word. They're not there because of committee. They're not there to lead singing. They're not there but because they receive anything except the power of God falls. And the Lord is faithful. And Dr. Patterson saw that, didn't you, Dr. Patterson? He was down there one Sunday, and these people from Odin, Indiana, brought a little girl, and they set the little girl up on the table. And I tell you, the Lord had to do this to bring Dr. Patterson, an orthopedic surgeon, and that little one-year-old girl to baby, one-year-old baby together. And the mother set her up there, and she had one foot that was just at the top of her little bitty nice dress shoes, you see. And she had a leg that short. And the Lord just grew that leg out just very same length. But Dr. Patterson, being an expert, see, he's trained, he's educated, he took those legs and examined them. He says, "That girl's pigeon-toed. I couldn't see anything about those legs, but I'm not used to looking at legs, you know." He says, "That girl's pigeon-toed." And we praise the Lord. We had to pray 3 times. And it took a while, didn't it, Dr. Patterson? And finally, Dr. Patterson, with his expertise, you see, and his college education, that $50,000 went to work right there for the Lord. And he examined that girl the third time, and he says, is gone. It's done. Lord healed it. Like that. Now, see, Dr. Patterson, an orthopedic surgeon that expertise in bones, knows that you don't do surgery to lengthen that leg an inch and a half or an inch or whatever it grew out. You see, nobody measured it. He knew the power of God. What happened? The family still has to keep coming against pigeon-toed. We got a letter from him, Dr. Patterson, and every 3 or 4 days that baby's feet start to turn in. And they say they come against the spirit of pigeon toe, and it leaves her. Her feet get straight again. See, so we're gonna pass binding and loosing in the home. You see, and binding and loosing in the home shows the parents how. Now this is why the devil destroys the man. This is why the devil destroys the home, because the way Jesus Christ set it up on Matthew 18:19, and we're gonna put that up there, and it's gonna bring us together. It's going to lead us into love. But in Matthew 18:19, if you're going to make a note of that, it says, where two or more are brought together, or two or more are gathered together in my name, and whatever you ask the Father, he will do it. Now, Derek Prince, I think, is the first one I ever heard explain this, in the fact that the original language, and I've had several people confirm it since that have looked it up, but that when it says bring together, it means bringing together under the Holy Spirit. Now, you see, there's a lot of things brought together here with soul power and in this area. Now, if the home, the marriage doesn't have to start in the Holy Spirit. Many people are married because of just wild lust, wild affection, you know. Really, their marriage is brought together because of filial love. We'll just use that word phileo, see. We're going to put love down here, and we're going to put that error up here, and we're going to put phileo. I'm not so sure that that's correct spelling, but then you can find the correct spelling and correct me. Phileo love is a worldly love. Phileo love is what most marriages are formed under, and phileo love is what is all some people ever know. Now, there's another kind of love that is agapeo and agape. Now, I thank Wynn Worley for straightening me out on this. But I called him one day talking about agape love and how agapeo and phileo. So, you know what I did, Wynn? I checked out. I called a Greek scholar that night. Wynn said the roots are the same, agapeo and agape. I said, no, Wynn, that's not right. Well, I thought I'd just straighten Wynn out. So I called a Greek scholar. What we'd done is gone through the New Testament and underlined every agape. And every agape, you see, actually you can't say agape. God is agape. God is love. God is agape. God is love. God is agape. God is what? God is the works of Jesus Christ. Now, before we finish, you see, I want to prove to you, I want to show you that if you're serving God, and if you're serving Him with love, if you're keeping His commandments, if you're working with Him, if you're meeting all the requirements, you can do nothing but work the works of Jesus Christ to stay in His love. And when you pat somebody on the back and say, I love you, brother, be careful. Because you might be just loving them with worldly love, and if you are, that's fine. You don't owe them a thing. But if you're going to, you cannot tell them that you love them, really. I'm using this in an extreme case. You can say it, because I'm going to say it, you see. But actually, when you agape a person, or agapeo a person, then you have to work the works of Jesus in them, the works of God. And so that is the whole crux of the thing this morning, is the fact that this Greek expert, I talked to him an hour, and he was a wonderful, understanding man. He told me agapeo. Agape is a noun, and agapeo is a verb. The only difference in them, you see, they both... Now, we're going to go back up here to where two or more are put together, Matthew 18:19. Now, let's just get this. That agreement cannot be fulfilled if you're agreeing with somebody in prayer, unless you're brought together with them in harmony. That word, where two or more are together, that is a symphony word. That means orchestration. That is music. That means they're brought together in harmony like an orchestra makes beautiful music. If you had six kids up here and the first time you ever gave them a clarinet, you know how that would sound? Now, if you had them up here where they had 6 years of training and they had a certain musical piece, then it would really sound nice, wouldn't it? That's the way the Holy Spirit brings things together. And when in Acts, when it says, He added to the church daily, who added to the church daily? Did that church have power then? Had all the signs and wonders and acts and miracles. Now, when a marriage is brought together by the Holy Spirit or is put under the Holy Spirit and the husband assumes the head of the home and the wife assumes her submissive role and the children are under authority, then they are brought together in harmony and agapeo and agape love exists through the life of the Father. And they have power.
Amen.
They have power, you see. Then the devil trembles and they're working with God and pulling down strongholds. How are they doing it? They're shutting out drug addiction. They're shutting out cancer. They're shutting out tumors. They're shutting out sickness. They're shutting out the work of the devil. Now, then, you see, you can be confident. Under that kind of harmony, in any type where two or more are gathered together, that you'll see every scripture fulfilled.
Amen.
Every time I go to Hagwitz Church, I see, it never ceased to amaze me. The first time we went up there, they were in a little bitty old building. And my wife and I got out of the car. And, well, we didn't get out. I just said, Rachel, I believe we've made a mistake. And we had the door open, though, and two girls that were going to that church, why, they got out of a car beside us, smiled at us, and said, oh, we're so glad you're here. They'd never seen us before. They just knew we were coming to church. They said, we're so glad we're here, and we couldn't back out. It was too late, see? Or we'd have driven off. Because we didn't think anything could happen in a building like that. It was about a fourth as big. Their sanctuary is about a fourth as big as this room right here. And we went up there for a baby ceremony once, and they dedicated babies. And by the way, we set a record in our little group. We dedicated the baby how old?
3 days.
3 days old. But anyway, they had a baby dedication, and Rachel and I were back about 2/3 of the way to the church, and we couldn't get in or out for an hour. The people just swarmed up around those parents and the babies, just loving them. And I'm telling you, love flows. Love flows. I mean, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the Father. And when you see that in a group of people, it just, you can look at the other side of the coin and you know what, how much you've been missing and how much you lack. And once you see the power, you see. And that's why Paul said what he did in, I'm just going to give you another scripture. That's why Paul said what he did in 1 Corinthians 2:1-5. And we mentioned that yesterday too. And that was that your faith would stand in the power of God and not in the wisdom of man. You see. Now, when your faith is born, if a person gets born again and saved, where the acts, signs, wonders, and miracles, you see, you saw things last night, Miss Orchard, that you knew that the power of God had to do them, right? Now, if there had been a person here that was unsaved, and they observed all that power from the Lord, and they could recognize only the Lord could do that, and they became born again and saved under those conditions, their faith would stand, as Paul says, in a demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. And it, so actually, you see, working with God, they would want to work with God. They'd want nothing less. Thank you, Jim. They'd want nothing less from then on. They'd want nothing less than that from then on, you see. So they're going to be working with God. So we have to examine. Does the Bible say for us to examine our ministry and examine ourselves? Some place it says that. Examine ourselves. And then it also says, prove your ministry. Prove your ministry. How do you prove your ministry? Well, you prove your ministry against the ministry of Jesus Christ. Because we're going to show seven scriptures in a minute where the scriptures say we are to walk just as Jesus Christ walked. Now, the only reason we're taking the time to do this is because the greatest thing that people tend to do is to underrate themselves. And this is why the Hegwitz Church is the hub of the... It's just exploding in all over the United States and the world. Why? Because people learn to minister. You know, it took me 8 months to learn the words to say, to anoint with oil. It took me... I just cannot figure out how I was so slow. But I just simply would sit down in front of a person to deliver them, and there this sweet little old girl was, you know, or a nice-looking lady or a man, you know, all dignified and sitting there. And I had my Bible and the Scripture, and I would say, come out of there in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. Come out of there. No change. I'd lay my hands on them. No change. Couldn't see anything. It takes... So I found out, I'll give you that scripture after a while, but in the scriptures it refers to the scouts going into the land of Canaan. It's in Numbers 33:3 or Numbers, we can find that after a while, 23:3, or just write down Numbers right now and then we'll get the rest of it later. But see, the scouts went into the, and looked at the land of Canaan. There was 10 of them went, 10 or 12, 12. One from each tribe. That'd be 12. And so they came back and they said, hey, the giants are there. The giants of Anak, I believe, A-N-A-K. And he said, you know what? They were huge. And in our sight, and in their sight, we looked like grasshoppers. We looked like grasshoppers. And therefore, in our sight, we were grasshoppers. Now, somebody can find that right quick. It's in our workbook, but Numbers 13, what, 33? Do you have it, sir? It's the last verse, I think, in the chapters. 13:33? All right. Somebody want to read that? You know, this is the way that some of us feel when you have to read Wynn's first book in order to realize that you've got so much power against those demons that you're dealing with. Who wants to read that aloud right quick, like?
There we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who came from the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight.
Okay. That's better said. Because they thought that those giants considered them as grasshoppers, and because they underrated themselves and saw themselves as grasshoppers, their courage was as grasshoppers. You know, the funny thing is that if they had known the Word of God and had that dwelling in them and had the confidence and had the believers, the scriptures go ahead and say that that land was full of fright from the children of Israel. It said their hearts were fainting because they knew the miracles God had done. They had spies out looking at the children of Israel. And they knew their shoes hadn't worn out, their clothes hadn't worn out. There was a pillar of fire at night and a cloud in the daytime. They knew they were being fed. How did all those people, 3 million people, stay alive? And it says later in the scriptures that they were faint with fright because of the children of Israel. So the children of Israel went over and saw those giants and they felt like grasshoppers. Doubt and unbelief. Now, when we come up against Sunday, we were working with a great big old 6'2", 230-pound fella, about that guy's size that just came in the door. And I'm telling you, we came against a certain spirit of karate. And there was only about four men there. Now, you'd think four men ought to be able to do something. But that old boy just reared up off the chair, and I absolutely about became a grasshopper. I'm telling you. But through cultivation, I just said, I bind you to that chair. I bind you to that chair. And listen, I'm telling you, he could have taken everything apart in that end of the clinic. He'd had no trouble. Wind's pretty good size, and a karate demon picked him up and threw him across the church, see. And I'm telling you, you'll get pounded around a little, but you know what happened? His eyes rolled right up in his head like that, and he just slumped in that chair. Now, see, what has to be, we have to practice till it becomes a fixed thing in our mind as to what we're going to do, because God's children are now, they're gathering and assembling themselves together, learning what to do, and then go out and conducting themselves just like ordinary people. See? Now, there are certain things that we are to be, it says in the Bible. See, it says that when we're working with God, we become salt. We become a light. There are some others. I wrote down a kind of a list. We're supposed to be full of joy because we're asking and receiving of the Father. And what do we look like? Well, we have one guy who comes down and he says that we look like we've been baptized in lemon juice. That's what old Al says, you know. It says, we are right, righteous, right living, and so forth. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But you see, what does it mean to be salt? It means that wherever you go, you're binding and loosing. We bind the strong man over this audience. We bind every strong man over every person here and over their mind. We have been having tremendous and dramatic results merely breaking the bondage on a kid's mind and on an adult's mind. You see, Satan spends a lot of time binding the mind. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the Lord of this world hath blinded the mind. Our minds are blinded, see? In Isaiah it says, the Lord can't get our attention because we don't hear and we don't see. And we have to do that. But our mind is blinded. And Wynn was talking about last night about these people have a blind spot towards deliverance. Boy, isn't that? That's not accidental. Rockstead out in Kansas says that they've delivered a people, and the demons have told them that they have a special force in America to blind preachers' minds to the works of the devil. How many preachers do you know that preach sermons on the works of the devil? I mean, actively preach against the devil. There's so many. The devil has been able to implant so many lies. I've heard a preacher say, well, tonight I'm going to preach on something, and I want you all to be here, but I don't dare tell you what it's about, because if he heard it, I wouldn't be able to preach on it. And so you talk to him a little while, and he says, yes. He says, if I announce a sermon on preaching against the devil, why, I lose my voice or something like that, see? Now, the thing of it is, when you've got that attitude, what is he? He's a grasshopper. See? He's a grasshopper. So there's the idea going around that the devil can't read your thoughts. Man, he's the originator of them. he not only reads them, he stimulates most of them. You see? How else do you think he does clairvoyance? And how else do you think he does ESP? And then he has it. It's in that book, Angels of Light. The devil can't read your thoughts. Not Angels of Light. Angels on assignment, yeah. Now, the thing of it is, you see, the devil will go to great lengths to perpetuate a lie that keeps his works hid. And that's why the manifestation of demons in people is so wonderful. And that's why, and then there's the idea, of course, you just pray once. And I just invite you to read Luke 18, the first 6-7 verses on where you just pray once. That'll get you all over praying once. You just simply pray and 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 pray. We prayed three times for that girl, and I told Rachel on the way out here, it seemed like yesterday, healing. We had several healing. People just miraculously healed here. We had a foot enlarged and so forth. But, you know, it took so much persistence. The Holy Spirit runs the whole show. If it doesn't happen, do it again. I've seen people pray a few minutes for a person. If nothing happens, they just walk off. No. The Lord's building you what? He wants you tough. He wants you tough. He wants you tough. He wants you tough. Somebody said last night, why does it take so long to get them out? He wants you smart. He wants you smart, see? He's teaching us stuff. Why, if all you had to do is just go around, you're healed. You got it, sister. It's done. Boy, if it happened that easy, where would I be most of the time sitting in front of a steak? That's where I'd be. instead of hanging in here learning and studying. And we've got a paper and a tape, how to get the power of God the Father. See, how to get the power of God the Father. How to get the power of God the Father. And I was told, don't seek the gifts. Don't seek. And all the time the Scripture says, covet earnestly the best gifts.
Right.
See? Boy, you're to seek. Romans 2:7. Romans 2:7 says, seek for honor and glory. And in James 17 it says that Jesus Christ said, boy, he gave us all the glory that the Father gave him, that he had before he even came to earth. Isn't that wonderful? What we have. So, Father, we just simply, we're going to start now. We just say, Ephesians 1:17, we're just simply going to pray that prayer that Paul prayed, that we just ask the Father to put the spirit of wisdom in every mind here and every family here. We ask the Father to put the spirit of understanding, of the revelation, open the eyes of the understanding and the revelation of knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that all power can be directed to usward. Okay, so we have to realize that we're working with God, that the way you determine whether you're working with him and for him is whether or not you're pulling down, shaking up Satan's kingdom. That's the way you measure it. Because Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, you want to say, well, not so sure I could do that. Well, all you have to do is qualify. You got nothing in you to disturb him anyway. See? We don't have anything that's gonna, he knows we're a hunk of dirt. He knows we're a hunk of dirt. Well, the most refreshing thing was when a demon said, Whirly, you're just a hunk of dirt. I thought, boy, that's the smartest demon I've ever heard talk. But you see, what happened is that Satan set out there, and in Genesis, we studied yesterday where God formed man, you see. In Genesis 2:7, it says that he made Adam out of the earth, and so that was his body. And then he breathed on Adam, and he became a living soul. Now, when he lost his soul, lost his spirit, when he fell, why, his mind just became the same as earth again. It was just earthly. It was just like you'd have a piece of meat here with no life in it as far as God was concerned. Then a wonderful thing happened, of course, in John 20:22, Jesus Christ breathed on the disciples again and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So it said that Jesus Christ was the second Adam, and he was a living spirit. He was a quickening spirit. I'll make that up to you some way, Wynn. I'll say something nice about you. So in John 20:22, it quickened. Now, then look at John 6, John 6, 57. John 6, 57. Some big, strong voice read that.
As the living Father hath sent me, I live.
As the living, as the living Father. As the living Father, okay. And Christ lives because the Father lives. That's life. The life in the Father, the life in Christ. Now, all right. The life in the Father put life in Jesus Christ, and then Jesus Christ, if we eat Him, puts life in us. And what do we have to do? We have to believe. Okay? Now, there's our first deal. And so we become a live soul. Now let's just look at Ephesians, spirit of the mind. Be ye renewed in the spirit of the mind. Ephesians 4:23. Try that one. Ephesians 4:23. Be ye renewed in the spirit of your mind. You have that, Shockley? You have that? Oh, we're going to make him get his glasses out. Praise the Lord. We'll pray for his eyes.
Be renewed
and mine.
In the spirit of your mind. Yeah, I'll pray.
Thank you. Okay. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So the life of the Father is a spirit. The life of Jesus Christ is a spirit. The life in us is spirit. And it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Otherwise, you've just got a carnal mind. And what isn't spiritual is against God. Remember that. Everything that isn't spiritual is at enmity with God. So our whole body and our carnal mind is full of evil spirits and at war with God. Okay? Now, that's where the power of God comes in. And then, look at John 6. I may have to find that. It's where it says, how do we work the works of God? It's long about 30, I think. It says, you see, they had followed him around and he was performing miracles. And he says, don't follow after me because of the miracles and because of the because you're filling your belly. But follow me after they followed him around because he was feeding them. Pardon me. All right. Somebody read John 6. 29.
Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent.
Okay. Now, this is the work of God. This is the work of God, that you believe on me, Jesus Christ. You be born again. You believe. This is the work of God. You could put in there, and I think it's wonderful, this is the love of God. This is the agape of God. This is the agapeo of God. This is the charity of God. This is the work of God, that ye believe. Now, what was he telling him in one? It's marvelous what Jesus Christ could say in so few words. The work of God that ye believe is what he said a believer would do. And this sorts out working for God and working with God right here. Mark 16, 17 through 20. These signs shall follow them who believe. Jesus never did refer to a believer as being in a rocking chair. Never did do anything but refer to him as doing the works. John 14:12. If you want to just make a note of these, let's not take time to look them up. We're just going to... Mark 16 through 20. These signs shall follow him that believeth, or those that believe. Then John 14:12, he who believeth on me, The works that I do, he shall do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go with the Father. Why did he say greater works? He did just as great a works as you're ever going to see. He did just as great a works as we're ever going to see. He had 3 years more time. You said it, brother. More people doing it, more time to do it. He worked 3 years. We got a chance to work 30. Praise God. So we'll have greater works, you see. Plus the fact he went to the Father, and we have, well, I'm not going to say that. You know, we're to walk as Jesus. But technically, and scripturally, and I would just get slammed right from the, by everybody if I said it. But you see, you could almost be inclined to think scripturally that we might even be in a more favorable position right now than Jesus Christ was when he walked the earth. Now, did I say that right, Wynn? And I know that Wynn's going to have to think that over and call me and tell me what's wrong with that. But you see what he said. See, he walked the earth as a man. And he went back to heaven and paid the price. And now we have all power over the enemy. He gave us all power over the enemy. He went back above the angels. In Psalms it says he was made a little bit lower than the angels. He was made in the likeness of Abraham, not the seed of Abraham, but he became flesh, you see, that he might walk as man. But Jesus, we have to realize that Jesus Christ didn't have some of the things that we have. Now, that might be getting me in trouble. But you pray about that. You pray about it, and I'll pray about it. But what I'm saying is, we underrate ourselves tremendously. You see, over there in the New Testament someplace, it says that Jesus Christ was taken back above all the principalities and authorities and so forth. And we are seated at the right hand side of the Father in him, Ephesians 2:6. We go right into the Holy of Holies. He just said, ask. And I want you to examine closely, scripturally, who we are in Christ. Look at it in the light of deliverance. Look at it in what he said in Matthew 28:18, when he said, let's just read it, somebody. All power has been given to me in heaven and earth. Now, look closely at that. Father, I just ask you to forgive me if I have overstepped the scriptures. The reason I say that, one time I said that to Pastor Hunter, and I said that we even have all the power that Jesus had. And he said, no, we couldn't have. And I'll show you his explanation, see. Because we have the inhibiting factor of fighting a body and fighting a mind that is carnal. And we don't have the victory he had because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb. And he didn't have the sins of mankind following him.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.